Five Things First Thing with JR Morning's Chris Renwick, Lloyd Jackson, and Jamie Edmonds.
I'm proud to say that the auto industry is back and America is back, and it's pulling Detroit and Michigan along with it.
That's the president yesterday at the Proving Grounds in Milford, and Mary Barra was there.
Everybody.
And welcomed him.
Yeah.
And look, all the Republicans were there. Mike sure. Rogers, who we'll talk to later on in the show.
John James.
John James was there. Yeah. Tim Walberg was there. Yep. Mm-hmm. Lisa McClain was there. I mean, everybody was there.
Yeah.
And the president, it was funny. I was golfing yesterday after the show. And I look up, and the people I was golfing with, Jeff Marcero, our sales director, I think we looked up like, is that Air Force One? I think that's Air Force One.
Yeah.
But the president came in. He toured the facility. He said he thought this was the biggest piece of asphalt he's ever seen in one place, which I thought was kind of funny. I also liked the line that he said he's doing more for the workers of the automotive sector. He's done more for them than their parents. And he said, wherever your parents are, they've probably done a lot for you, but I've done more. I thought that was funny. it's Donald Trump-riffing.
Absolutely.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely.
But it's what he does. And he talked a lot about the automotive industry, obviously. He talked a lot about what would have happened if he weren't elected.
He thought that Biden or Kamala would be wonderful. You wouldn't have an auto industry right now if they got elected.
This is the stuff about Donald Trump, because there was a lot of substance that he brought yesterday. He talked about the tariffs on Chinese vehicles, on these Chinese EVs, that there are 100% tariffs on them, and they're not allowed in the United States because they don't want to pay the premium.
Right.
That these foreign automakers that were building trucks, that they were not building them in the United States, and so there was a tariff attached to them, which was making them more unaffordable. And as a result, we are seeing better sales in the truck segment for our automakers here.
Yeah.
And so there was some there, but I don't understand that. That's the stuff of Donald Trump that I don't get. And he's got to do it. And he did the poll, should it be Sleepy Joe or Crooked Joe? And Crooked Joe. And it's like, we don't need that.
Yeah.
That's not what we need right now. He's trying to whip up the base. He's trying to rally
that's
the base
exactly what that is.
Ahead of the midterms. And, it was fine. It was a classic Donald Trump address.
Well, speaking of the midterms, what did you think of the debate last night?
Well, I'll tell you this.
Did you like the format?
No, I don't. I don't like the format.
I didn't like the format either.
I don't.
And I know it was the same format with the others. I didn't like it then. Don't like it now.
I don't like it either. It's odd to me that it's taken Abdul El-Sayed to bring out this idea of PAC money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spoiler alert. PAC money has been in the game for a long time.
Yeah.
If you think APAC is giving Haley Stevens money, this is like a breaking news sounder. I don't know where that is. Play that breaking news sounder. It's not breaking news.
No.
This isn't new.
It's broken news.
That's
what it is.
Yeah. This is that sock that you've had for 30 years. And water's wet. Yeah. Political action committees give to candidates all the time,
and they have been for how long?
But we continue to focus on it as it being. Yeah,
there we go.
Oh, PACs give to candidates.
I found it.
Thank you, Jace.
I thought Haley Stevens won the debate. In my opinion,
no.
I thought this was particularly poignant when she was talking about Abdul El-Sayed.
A lot of you remember Abdul from when he first ran for governor in 2018. It didn't work out. So he started the podcast, he wrote the books, and now he's running for Senate. And he's already bought the website for president. It's just another rung on the ladder.
So using this as a stepping stone to something.
Yeah, kind of letting people know now, this is a person who's just going to use this for a minute.
He's not interested in actually helping you.
Right.
He wants the oval.
Yeah. A milestone moment along the border yesterday. Top officials helped open the brand new Gordie Howe International Bridge in style. Senator Gary Peters, he led the way, becoming the first person to ride across the new Detroit-Windsor span on a motorcycle. Governor Gretchen Whitmer followed close behind, crossing into Canada behind the wheel of a Michigan-made black Ford Mustang convertible.
Well, I haven't driven in a number of years, so the fact that I got a chance to do this morning was really fun for me personally. I love driving a car like a Mustang and getting to see this. You know, there's so much symbolism about this bridge and just even the safety aspects of it that are shaped like hockey sticks in honor of Gordie Howe is really something that's very cool.
The governor praised the multi-billion-dollar project, calling the cable stayed span an engineering marvel and a symbol of longstanding partnership. Jointly owned by Michigan and Canada, the bridge, already the largest trade crossing in North America, it features 6 travel lanes, multi-use paths for cyclists and pedestrians, and dozens of new inspection booths to keep international traffic moving.
Let me turn my mic on. Okay. I will say, it did look like it was the first time she's driven in years.
She kind of, I don't know.
Just the way the video was.
And it was kinda,
she was just like sitting in the seat and she's like.
So when you think about it, yeah, probably because she gets driven everywhere, right?
Right. So I thought that was fine. Oh, it's great. Glad the bridge is open, and let's put it to good use now.
It's a long time coming. Michigan's record-setting cyclospora outbreak continues to grow, the state reporting more than 9,200 cases since late June. That's an increase of 13% since just last Friday. Health officials say 160 people have been hospitalized, though nearly half of Monday's newly reported cases were delayed because of lab testing. The outbreak has spread to 70 Michigan counties, with Wayne County reporting the highest number of cases. Experts say the outbreak may be beginning to level off, but caution, it's too early to declare a decline because of reporting delays and the parasite's long incubation period. The CDC has now linked the outbreak to 9 states with contaminated shredded iceberg lettuce from central Mexico believed to be the source. There's a story in one of the papers this morning, I think it's the Free Press, of a lady who was in a hospital. She ate some Taco Bell on June 15th. She didn't find out she had cyclospora until July 24th. She said her whole summer was all messed up. She kept asking people, like, "You think I got cyclospora?" "Oh, no, you don't have that. You we do some other tests and everything." They finally tested her for it, and it came back. And then it took a week to get the test back, so she was still going through what she was going through. And they finally told her, "Oh, yeah, you got it. Yeah, here's some medication now." After a month of throwing up and, you know, feeling bad and dehydrated and had to go to the hospital to get IVs. It was just crazy.
Yeah, it's not fun.
It's not fun.
Can attest.
Well, yeah.
It is not fun. Tigers lose 8-5 yesterday. Jason, what are we doing here?
You know who the real winner was last night? I was just watching the video.
The squirrel. I would not. That squirrel could do some juke moves, man.
He could play center field.
Yes.
Can we get him a bat?
You know, as each passing day goes, and you talked about it last week, they need to sell. 4 games back in the wild card, 4 games back in the division, but
okay.
You know.
All right.
Well, 7 games under 500.
Okay, let's put your money where your mouth is. What are you selling? Because Scooble's comments after his last start, where he's like, "I don't know where anybody's getting this idea that I don't want to be here.
I want to be here.
I haven't said that. Yada yada." If they don't trade him, then they're going to sign him. Then they're going to sign him to a bigger deal. But if they are going to trade him, do you trade him and Casey Mize? How big is the sell off here?
I would just say Scooble. Now I know the Brewers are interested. They've sent back a package that would include a starting pitcher who pitches now and then 2 bats. That's what I've seen so far. Mm. But do you think they're going to pay him, though?
Well, I would just say, I think if they do not trade him, then they
have to keep him. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
then somehow. He will. Then they're going to have to pony up. And,
yeah, they have to pay.
And
yeah.
pay him.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
I
then
just,
what does it, of course, what does that do for the offense going forward?
But again, if you believe all of these reports that they're not even close to a deal, like they were so far on the opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
I don't know what would have changed now. What would have changed?
I think they probably could have done what they wanted to, but they were just waiting to see.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Look, they've lost 3 in a row now. And normally that doesn't matter. They can still win this series against Baltimore.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is trade deadline is in what? 7 days? Mm-hmm. 6 days?
Mm-hmm.
And 3 consecutive losses is not the way to handle this schedule at this point.
5 things first thing with JR Morning. on 760 WJR.